was fire. All I saw was fire. I tried looking back behind me to see what was behind me, but all I saw was fire. All I saw was fire in his eyes. My past is not in his eyes. My past is not reflected in his eyes. The only thing in his eyes is fire. It's only fire. So when I look at him, I see my forever. I see my future in him. And I see fire. I see the purity of his heart. Piercing me. It's only by the blood. What's behind his eyes? It's not there.
It's only by the blood of the Lamb.
I received that revelation and I walk into his eyes. And I keep walking into his eyes to get what I need so I can release his reward in the earth. It's only by the blood.
It's only.
Our past doesn't exist in his reflection.
It's only by the blood. It's only by the blood. It's only by the blood. It's only by the blood of the.
They're doing some brick making there also. Cassava, pineapples, and make a few bricks on the side. And all of it's going well and successful. None of them are sick. All of them are well, probably rested by now. But keep praying. Keep praying for them, please. Father, we thank you right now for the team in Mozambique. We lift you up as their commander, as their king, Lord, as their father. They're sons and daughters of yours, and they're just sharing everything that they know about you with every person that they meet. Cross their paths with the ones that you've already destined for them to meet. You've already planned it from the foundation of the earth, that each of the team members would cross the paths of someone in Mozambique and many in Mozambique. So, Father, we release through them what you want to release in these precious Mozambicans, Father. We're honored to be part of your plan for Mozambique. We're honored to be part of your mission to Mozambique. Many ministries going into Mozambique. Many kingdom people being raised up in Mozambique. We thank you, Father. We just say, continue. Go on higher and higher and more for the country of Mozambique and every person, Lord. We just say, use our team, Father, for their part in the grand mission that you've planned. And may we hear back the reports. And may they hear reports from here. Father, that you are strong everywhere on the earth and you're building your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise today. We honor your name today. We're just your kids, but we're also in your army. Father, thank you, Lord. We're child soldiers for you. We can depend on you, but we can step out in the strength of the Spirit as well. And minister amazing healing and deliverance and salvation, Father, to the people we meet. We give you praise for that. We would be nothing without you, but we're everything with you. We're your treasure, and you're our treasure. You're our pearl of great price, and we're your pearl of great price. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of that, even in worship today, as you drew close to us. And convinced us that the enemy's a liar, that you really do treasure us. You really do want to draw close to us. Thank you for showing us that already this morning. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord. Well, the kids are ready today. If nobody else is, they are, I'll tell you that. Do they have class today? Okay. Well, I guess we'll release them for that. One more hug. Come on. Give it to me. See something? Okay, go to class. It's that way. Oh, wow. Just what I needed. Is that that. Yeah, that might be a good idea. Okay, what part of the world is this? Who said it? What's that? Can't hear you. Say it louder. India. It's India. That is the project started for the children's home in India. And he's good enough at things that he labels things. So I'll just let you kind of look through those as we start up. It's Pastor Benjamin there on the right. Starting to come along. There he is on the right. Our good friend, our son in the faith. So the plan is for that to continue going on. It'll be several phases. 2,000 person building for the children. And they plan to have a school for 3,000. That means that they'll reach out to the people in the community, the kids in the community, and bring them in to let them have free schooling. Minister to them. Most of them are Hindu. And they won't be for long. They're already leading people to the Lord as they do this project. Some of the workers are coming to Christ as they work on this project. Now you can imagine what opposition the enemy tried to put up against this even getting started. So this is a real breakthrough. There's shepherds in the area. They don't sell the land. Well, the land was sold. Then there was a strip of land that was very key through the land that was owned by a shepherd, and he wasn't going to sell it. And they showed up, and he didn't like them. He didn't like Pastor Benjamin and what was going on there. He wasn't going to sell it. Nope, no way. But his heart changed, and he ended up selling it to him. And he bought himself some new clothes. He was kind of a, you know, grungy looking guy, and he bought some new clothes, and he came out to meet us when we went there, Pastor Mary Pat and myself and Michelle, when we went there. And I guess it wasn't Michelle. Where am I? I guess it was just Pastor Mary Pat and myself. And he shook our hands and was smiling, beaming, glad that the project was going forward and so on. The Hindu priest of the area loves Pastor Benjamin. You can imagine when he first came there, he was wondering what he was up to, what was going on. Now he's excited about what's happening on the land. And they made a couple of roads, I think they said. And in between time, while they're building this project, they've rescued 32 more children. 32. More children rescued out of the sex trade. So obviously they need our prayer. They will need financial support as time goes on. And it's been raining like crazy. So they have to take a break when the rains get too much. Not like building in Ohio. They have to stop when the rains come because they're very heavy. So, Father, we just lift up this project. We say, for the kingdom, for the king and the kingdom, be built, go high, go fast, accelerate. Let the rains go around them so that they can continue the building. Let the funds flow in like a flood to continue this project for the benefit of children, for the benefit of those lives that you've rescued twice. Once out of the sex trade and off the streets, Lord, and once out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We just bless all that's going on in India, Father, and the rescuing from the different countries. We bless it in Jesus' name. We say, go forth in Jesus' name. and expand in Jesus' name. We bless all involved in it. Pastor Benjamin and Adriana, Father, and their staff, and all the people that have come alongside to help them with this project. We bless all the children and their needs during this time. We thank you for the 32 that have been recently rescued. We pray they would be brought into the family quickly, that they would, their hurts would be healed. They would find you. You would find them. You already have, and you've drawn them in, Lord, to your heart. Now may they fully fall in love with Jesus in every way and have a free heart to do so because you heal them up. You deliver them, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We honor you today. We're excited about what you're doing. Amen? Oh, yeah, this is fun. I talked to Pastor Samuel this past week in Ghana, and they're about ready to put on the roof, or at least they were at that point, so it might be on by now. They were going to take a poly tank, which is what they put the water in, big, huge plastic tank. They were going to take it from the south on the bus that we provided many years ago, put it on top of the bus, this great big tank, and take it to the north. So I haven't heard the results of that yet. We'll have to see if it made it. Hopefully it did. And they'll be putting that up, and the well will be completed so that that can be hooked up to that poly tank on the building that will be completed. So we'll give you some updates, hopefully by Tuesday, on how that's going, whether all those things fell into place. So that's pretty exciting. Several parts of the world. And look at us. Look at this group. We've tithed, you know, out of this group for a summer mission, haven't we? That's what it was. We tithed out of our body. We could have more people here in the summer. It's kind of nice, though, just a small group like this. And you know the Lord will bring some new people in, and they'll go, they'll look at the bulletin boards, and they'll go, how are they doing all that? What's exciting about it is he's able to do it with a small army that's committed and loyal and in covenant. That's exciting. And there's some people, you know, that are on vacation, you know, during the summer and all that. He still gets it done. It's an amazing thing. I love it. I even like it. And I want it to continue. Well, well, well. So many good things going on. If you get that, do we have the stuff from Mozambique yet or not? You don't know. It's coming. A little louder. Okay. Let's do that now, since kind of in that flow of things. So they can hear you.
Yeah. Sorry, the fan is loud. Well, Christy's coming from the nursery, but we just wanted to say hello and introduce Teresa, myself, and Christy are going to be heading up our FMI Children's Home in Rajahmundry. And we are going to try to get information out to you and, you know, have pictures of the kids and stuff that it can be a little bit easier to visualize what's going on in southern India. But we wanted to just make you aware that we're going to be working on an individual child sponsorship program for the 20 kids that are in our FMI children's home. And that's going to be coming in a couple weeks. We're going to have like a packet for each child. If the Lord moves on your heart to sponsor them, we're going to start working on that. But we wanted to let you know that that's coming and to ask you to pray about being a sponsor for one of our children, especially since it's going to be something that's above and beyond, you know, your regular tithe and regular offering. It's going to be an extra $35 a month that would cover these children for their food and clothing and school expenses and all their living expenses. So we wanted to drop that out for you guys to consider and pray through. And in a couple weeks, we'll have more information on the individual children and how you can do that. So, and I haven't been to India, but Teresa and Christy have. They don't say they don't look like they have anything they want to say, but you can. So you can ask them all kinds of questions about the children's home, and they can answer them. So.
Well, I can say something. I mean, these kids are so precious. They're just so innocent, and their background and where they come from is all, it's just different. Each one of them has their own story. And so anything that they receive is very appreciative towards them, because the size of their, what'd you say, like their room is maybe a size of one of the kids' rooms in there, and that's where they all sleep. And sometimes they sleep in the church. And so, I mean, they don't have a lot. So what they do get, it's very, you know, they're just very grateful and very thankful. So anything that the Lord puts on your heart and is stirring up will definitely be a blessing.
And we're going to, I mean, we're going to be putting stuff on the bulletin board out here so you guys will get a chance to see the faces of each child and get to know them a little bit that way and have a little bit of background for each of the children. Did you already say that? Okay, so.
Just something the Lord's put on my heart, too, is that as you see the pictures there, and the Lord may give you a heart to actually pray for them, because your prayers will change their destiny, and you have an opportunity to influence a child here all the way in India, and you have an opportunity to influence their life and change their destiny by your prayers and by your support. So it is very important.
This is just getting fun. Well, I did want to mention that Dan and Laura are here today, and Emma. Emma here today, or she's still in the South? Okay, I miss seeing her. So great. They're joining up with us, as you know, and so you want to give them an extra hug today. That they were able to come from Germany by way of southern Ohio. Is that right? And then here, or did you go Germany here? Which was it? You have to say it louder. Okay, yeah, they stopped in the south, and then they came up here. Yeah, so they're a wild couple. You should get to know them. They're kind of like us. Huh, how about that? And we have Amy Sutherland from the great state of Michigan, land of the free, home of the brave, the promised land, you know, the place I came from. And she went on a trip with us 12 years ago to our first trip to Ghana. So we reconnected Friday night. We had a little gathering over at Christie's for some of the ones that were on that trip and knew her. And she refreshed our memories on so many details that we had forgotten long ago, or except for Mike. But it was a good time, and I hope you'll greet her warmly and bless her richly, because she's gone on to many things, and she has quite a journey and a story that she was telling us. And we had a good time. What time we get to bed? Like 2 o'clock, something like that. I forget. Yeah. You know, when there's a reunion, you don't keep the regular hours. Isn't that right? You're going to keep regular hours when you get to heaven, and there's that reunion. Won't be any hours. Might as well start acting like that here on earth. Some of you looked a little shocked when I said 2 p.m. Like, who stays up that long? Come on now. Yes, Lord. Now, let's see. What was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah. It's been so good so far. I almost forgot. It was lost in worship there. So now I hope I'm not ultimately lost with all of this. 2 weeks ago, what did I share on? Broke a record. An hour and 15 minutes and I never opened my eyes. Okay, well, I've done that before in soaking, but it was deep soaking. Oh. You felt what? I missed that. Eavesdropping. Yeah, for those of you that weren't here, I never got to the message. I started the prayer, and it just felt right. It felt good to continue with the prayer. So the prayer went on for about, some were saying, an hour and 15 minutes. I was blessed by that. You know, I don't know. I hope you were able to enter in during that time, but I was just totally blessed by it because everything I'd gone over in my preparation for the message, it just seemed like it was right there on the top of my heart, and I just couldn't leave that place of prayer with the Lord. And I'm glad that you gave me that freedom. You know, someone didn't come up and tap me on the shoulder and say, "Isn't it about time? Let's move on now." Someone said afterwards, "I thought you were going to preach after that." I thought, no, I wouldn't have been able to probably get very far. But it was a very precious time, but there were some things in there that I want to connect in with today. Out of that prayer, I did listen to it again, so I knew what I prayed, because I wasn't sure about everything. So Pastor Mary Pat and I listened to it again, and It was something. I didn't know that many of those things were prayed out, and I was glad that they were. But we're going to weave that in. And then last week's message by Pastor Mary Pat, what was that on? Turtles and eagles. I don't know if that's the way she looks at it, but that's what many of us caught out of it. I received some turtles yesterday. They were chocolate, and they had walnut legs, and they went down into my system, a couple of them. But turtles, what was that all about? I keep hearing the fan, but I don't hear the people.
It said zero calories.
Zero calories. That's right, the ones you don't count. What were the turtles about? I heard something.
Fear.
Okay.
Slow speed.
Slow progress. I think she would say religion would slow you down like a turtle. You're not going to progress. You're not going to go forward very fast. With religion, not Jesus, religion. But the eagle represented freedom. That we're flying above all that man stuff, and we're in the supernatural and able to be free in our spirit and so on. I want to weave that into the message today somehow. Because all these things are a theme in God's heart, or he wouldn't be telling Pastor Mary Pat and I to share these things. So he must be weaving many of these things in. You still remember the radical nominal message quite a while ago? That's still being weaved in through all of this. These look like they might be just kind of separate topics that, oh, I think I'll teach on that. But actually, I had about four or five I was thinking, yeah, I'll go after those today. And he led me a different direction. And I knew it was the right thing because it weaved in with so many things from the past that we've just recently heard. See, if you don't believe that God is revealing anything through the people that come up here to speak something, why come? Might as well stay home. It's cooler, I'll tell you that. Probably. And that's why, you know, when Pastor Mary Pat says, she's the one who usually says it. Why don't you listen to that message again? Get on the internet and click on that message and listen to that message again. I think it'd be good for you. The reason she says that is because we often do that. To see what the Lord is saying. You might give the message and need to hear it again just as much. So if it's good enough for your pastors, your leaders, it's good enough for you. To hear again, if we really believe it's revelation, if it's just a bunch of, or a couple of people or more just talking, if it's not that much value, then we'll just archive those. Nobody will ever listen to them, and we go on with life. But if it's true revelation, you know, when you tell me something that the Lord has spoken to your heart, I really try to listen. Because what if he did? What if he spoke that to your heart? It was God speaking that to you. I should pay attention. It might be for me too. You might be sharing it because you're excited. Oh, the Lord spoke to me and he showed me this and he showed me this. And I had this dream and I had this vision. I had this picture. I had. I better listen up. Some of it might be for me. Because you're sharpening me, I'm sharpening you. Isn't that true? Of course it is. So the same way when you keep seeing the same people maybe give messages up here, you can't let familiarity breed contempt, right? That's not good. Oh, I kind of know what she's going to say. You know, she says kind of the same thing every time. And then when he gets up, you know, he does all that joking. I can never stay with the message because he does all that joking around. But if you're too familiar with the speakers, you don't value the message. Maybe. At times. I'm just encouraging all of us. You know, sometimes I'll listen to one of the famous speakers and so on, and oh yeah, I've heard him say that before. And then I try to catch myself. Ooh, that's not a good thing to say. They're repeating it for a reason. Jesus repeated for a reason. Why in the world we need four gospels? Come on. I mean, some of those passages are like in three or four of them. Same ones. Why would we need it three or four times? Have you lived much of life? Of course we need it three or four times. Probably a lot more than that. The same thing from God to remind us where we're headed, what we're doing, to remind us of the things that he wants for us. What did he say the Holy Spirit would do for us? He would remind us of the things I've taught you. Why did we need reminding? Because we're us. Mom needed to remind us, and God needs to remind us. It's a good thing, though. You can smile. It's a good thing that he's that gracious to us. What if he only gave us these principles, these things from the Spirit, only one time? You get one shot. If you missed it, oh well. Too bad for you. You missed it. I mean, it's like gold. You got to dig it out of the ground. So you missed the dig. You missed the day of the dig. What are you going to do? No, he's gracious. He keeps saying it to us again and again and again. We'll read it in the Bible two or three times. We'll hear it from a speaker over our lifetime many times on the same passages. Little different nuance given by each speaker. Kind of like a fine diamond, you know, with all the different facets as you turn it in the sun. The Lord wants us to see these things from different perspectives. All these wonderful things in the Spirit so it actually becomes part of us. And we are the Word, just like he was the Word. Some of you look a little skeptical today. You know, you should give me a few more smiles because I'm missing my wife. Come on. So when Jesus gave parables, they aren't kind of nice little stories for us to explain to the children. We're going to go down to Sunday school and explain the parable. Going to use that flannel graph. It'll be fun. Those parables, stories that Jesus told, are so impacting it takes our whole life to even wrap ourselves around them. They're so powerful. They're so amazing in the truth that they give to us. So we need to hear about them over and over again. I think during the prayer 2 weeks ago, one of the things I do remember that I was praying about was that we're going through a season where there there is a shaking in the body of Christ. There's a shaking in this body as part of the body of Christ. There are people being shook, and some of the things that are coming out of them, or some of them, aren't too great for them to see or for some of us to see. So we have to trust Holy Spirit to increase our love, to help them, to rescue them, in every contact with them, to let them know, you know, that despite some of the choices we don't agree with, we're behind you. We love you. We care about you. And we're not putting our noses up in the air. But there are also a number of people that are seeing the need for deliverance after many years in this ministry. They're seeing the need for it, and they're either being asked to step into it because they have been around for so long. We see the need for them to be freed up in some of the areas in their life. Or they're stepping forward for that deliverance. It just seems to be a season of that right now. Some of the team members that went to Africa, they will undoubtedly step into another level of inner healing as they're over there ministering. Now, is that allowed? I mean, aren't you supposed to be all healed up before you go? Whoa, where's that person? You know, we're all in process. And they will be challenged by everything that happens to them over there. So one of the things to pray for them is that they get all from Holy Spirit they're supposed to get for themselves, as well as feel free enough to give out the love. And of course, they have a team, so they'll be encouraged to do that. And some of the things will be so stretching for them that they'll actually snap or break. There'll be some encounters with leaders that won't necessarily be pleasant, but they'll be good, because the leaders are going to love them, and they're going to see something inside of them that, because they've been squeezed by the circumstances of being on a mission team, some stuff's going to come out, and it's not going to all look like nice toothpaste. So we need to pray for that aspect of the trip for the team, because we want them to get everything that they can get, including a deeper level of inner healing. So all these things are, you know, kind of in this season, and the shaking going on. And I mentioned in that prayer 2 weeks ago about the sifting that the enemy is asking God. Can I please sift that person in front line? Please, let me go after them in this area. They kind of cracked open the door, and I want to fly through that door and get them. Just like Jesus said, Peter, the enemy has asked permission to sift you. And when you're done with all that, apparently he was giving permission, you're going to come out on the other side and you're going to be able to encourage other people. Okay, Lord, couldn't we just, you know, have you stand against the sifting maybe? Wouldn't that be a better plan, huh? How about that, please? Maybe? He actually had to go through it because the enemy had permission. There was a hole in the hedge somewhere. Same with Job. There was a hole in the hedge somewhere. For Job, it was fear, apparently. And the enemy got in and had permission to wreak havoc in his life, except for his life, to take his life. And you know the disasters that came to his life. And he said, what? I mean, does God allow that? Come on. That's not right. Well, so many times he's gracious beyond gracious, and we don't have to go through some of those things. But because the enemy has a free will, we have a free will. He's given the right for the enemy at times, because of our free will choices, to come in and sift us like wheat. That's sobering. I don't know if that catches you, but that's pretty sobering. So we want to see if we can close up things in the hedge as much as possible, because the enemy complained to God about this hedge around Job. I mean, you've got him hedged in. I can't get to him. Yeah, of course he's happy. Of course he's joyful. Of course he's following you in faith. You never let me in to attack him. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the spiritual world that we need to be as freed up as possible so that we're not under the sifting of the enemy. Because there's a sifting of the Lord as well. He will knock the chaff off of us so that only the good wheat is left. He'll take us to the threshing floor. It says it in Matthew, and he'll take all that chaff off of us. Which would you rather go through? The sifting of the Lord or the sifting of the enemy? So this morning I want to revisit something for you that will help you get the chaff off and hopefully fill in the holes of your hedge that the enemy won't be able to get permission. I said the enemy won't be able to get permission for you. He won't be able to come in and attack you in areas that possibly he may have had some impact on your life already. He's stolen some things from you. I want to see that stop. I want to rise up like a shepherd and stop some of the harassment on the sheep. And we have the great shepherd over us to help us with it. He's the one that has all the answers. I heard a pastor once say he was not the shepherd. He was the sheepdog. The great shepherd was the shepherd. He was the sheepdog. All he did was nip at the heels of the sheep, you know, try to keep them in the path. I kind of like that. You know, he's just kind of over here and then and keep them kind of, you know, in the chute. I kind of like that idea. I won't growl at you, though. Just a little. So, one thing, if you get a chance, you need to go out with the cars for a day. It's a blast. Friday we went out for golf, and then they said lunch. And, you know, I did one of those things that you really don't want to do. I forgot my wallet in my car. And that's what I mean. Yeah. That was exactly what happens when you do that. You know, I got my golf clubs out, threw them in their car, but forgot that my wallet was in this deal in the front seat of my car. So I was without funds. And it put me in a place of either being blessed or running into some difficulty. So fortunately, I was blessed. God was good to me. And the cars were good to me. It was a lot of fun. But in the midst of that, we were at the golf course and we came out to the vehicle. Tom was driving, and he found this on his car at the golf course. And, you know, we were discussing it because we drove off to the restaurant and saw it on the windshield wiper. And we went, well, they can't give tickets at the golf course? What is this thing? And so we read it at lunch. I'm not sure it's edifying. But it says, parking violation, province or state, they don't even mind putting that in, automobile license number, they don't put that in, make of the automobile, the time, they didn't put any of that in. Well, they just left the message. This is not a ticket, but if it were within my power, you would receive two. Because of your bullheaded, inconsiderate, feeble attempt at parking, you have taken enough room for a 20 mule team, two elephants, one goat, and a safari of pygmies from the African interior. The reason for giving you this is so that in the future, you may think of someone else other than yourself. Besides, I don't like domineering, egotistical, or simple-minded drivers. and you probably fit into one of these categories. I sign off wishing you an early transmission failure on the expressway at about 4:30 p.m. Also, may the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your armpits with my compliments. And that's what it says. I'm not making it up. So we had to, you know, we had to cast down that curse off of poor Tom. So we're at lunch at the Harbor Inn casting off this thing off Tom. He's being cursed for parking his car at the golf course. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way the world handles things, if you've noticed. I mean, it was, I'm sure they thought it was a fun way of telling someone they're parking in the wrong place. But in general, we think of justice, don't we? It's not right that you park in this place, and I can't give you a parking ticket, so I'm going to give you worse. I'll give you a curse. Whoa. Aren't you glad that our Father's not like that? Because we would deserve whatever He gave us. I mean, He's the only one holy, so we would deserve it. But instead, He gives out bucketfuls of grace and mercy to us. Let's take a look at Matthew 18. Yes, Lord, have your way. Verse 23 of Matthew 18. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he said, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw himself into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now obviously, we have forgiven people many times. We talk about forgiveness in Frontline a lot, and that it's a key. It's a key to inner healing. It's one of the things that will keep you from your destiny if you cannot forgive, if you hold unforgiveness. It will keep you from loving other people because you'll have too many issues on the inside to be free enough to love somebody else. I mean, you can dance up front here. You can worship God. But if there's unforgiveness in your heart, you'll choke in ministering to other people. Or they won't be impacted when you do. It'll be insincere. It won't be something from God, from your heart, from Holy Spirit. It's going to have a roadblock there, and it's unforgiveness. So we've talked about that a lot, I think. And if not, here we go. But the thing is, we need to have it deepened over time. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. For us to be ready for the deeper levels of deliverance in our heart, to be freed up, to be healed on the inside, we need to have deeper levels of forgiveness, even for some of the same people that we've forgiven. You know, when it says, how often, how much should I forgive someone? Up to seven times? And Jesus says, seven times 70, or and some people think he meant 77 times. The end result is however many times that it takes. You're to forgive. It's unconditional love. It's like the love that I have for you. It's unconditional. It covers it all. It doesn't cover 90%, 10%. It covers everything. So you need to cover it with people. You're to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Right? And your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so if I'm supposed to receive the forgiveness from God and love Him with all my heart, mind, soul, strength, everything inside of me, and my neighbor as myself, it's going to take unconditional forgiveness and a continuing of that, a deepening of that. Some of us may have forgiven someone in our lives, but we don't trust them. We forgave. We even went to God. My heart, Lord, you know that I'd like to go after them with my own vengeance, but I ask you to forgive me. That's wrong. It's just not good. I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them for what they've done. But then when we see the person, we still kind of, you know, you stepped on my toes once, I'm not going to get them close to you again so you can step on them. The Lord will take us to a deeper level so that we are able to have the kind of love that He has, not just the love that we have, to forgive someone. So, Holy Spirit will bring people to your mind this morning of where it needs to be deepened. I'm not here to point out who those people might be. I'm here to say to you, you will be freer. You will find more power in your life. You'll be able to connect with the presence of God much better if you can step into deeper levels of forgiveness, sometimes for the very same people that you've already forgiven in your life. Now, the usual suspects are mom, dad, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, you know, all those family-type relationships. Friends from the past, authority figures from the past, whether they be teachers or whether they be former pastors, certainly not the pastors you have now, for heaven's sakes. But former authority people, bosses, employers, and Holy Spirit will bring to your heart who your forgiveness needs to be, you know, to go deeper with that person. Oh, I forgave them years ago. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you carry on a conversation with them? Oh, yeah. Probably could. Could if I wanted to. Do you want to? Well, not necessarily. You know, I'm not saying that in every situation are you supposed to, you know, track people down there in other states, you know, that you've forgiven and call them up and say, you know, I don't think I've had a deeper level of forgiveness for you, so I'm just telling you that right now. You have to follow Holy Spirit on this. But He will point out to you who it needs to be deepened with. Who is it? Whose prison, you know, are you in with them? They committed the act, you forgave the act, but that name, that still comes to your heart, still comes to your mind. While I was going over this, a few came to my mind. I went deeper in forgiving them. I tried to see where, okay, I forgave them, but I don't honor them. I might even talk about them negatively still. Because, you know, I forgave them, but the hurt is there, the story is there, the testimony is there. So I'll just blab that to everybody. I think I can go deeper if I'm doing that with a person. I can forgive them to the level where I want to protect them from any embarrassment. I want to protect their name from being, you know, slammed at any point because of what they did to me. That's just kind of a backhanded bitterness, you know. Oh, I don't have bitterness. I forgave them. But then I talk about them over here when I give my testimony and nail them to the wall because it's a testimony. You know, it's how I came out of everything. And I don't name names. I just tell their position in my life. You know, there's some things there that I can go deeper in forgiveness and I'll be freer. I'll be able to comfort people because I've received more comforting from the Lord. So here in the parable, the guy has no way of paying this, and he even says he will, which was a lie. He could never pay this. That's why it was 10,000 talents. That's an amount that's way more than anybody could pay. And so he lied on top of it. You know, it's, please, please, please. I'll pay it back. I'll pay it back. He can't. There's no way. But the king had mercy on him. And you know who the king represents. Full mercy, released him from it, didn't put him on a payment plan. Didn't say, hey, I'll send you a statement each month. It was a complete erasing of everything that was owed, 10,000 talents. The guy was like blown away. I mean, what they did in those days, was they took your family, they sold them, they, you know, or put them in prison, whatever, to get some of that money back, or put you in prison until you can figure out a way to pay it. They were kind of strong on those kinds of things. We might get into trouble if we get into debt. For heaven's sakes, we have plastic. But they didn't have that system. You were put into prison. Your family might be put into prison. Or they would sell your family members for some of it. Serious situation. So he pleads, he asks for forgiveness of the debt, or at least enough so that he had time to pay it back. And it's completely taken out of the picture. It's exactly the way the Father has forgiven us, isn't it? That's why we should really be free. We should be freed up. We should be hallelujah in every second of our lives. Because it was a debt we could not pay. There are sins you've forgotten. I don't know if you know that. There are things that you have done against God you've just completely forgotten. And so if he does this in heaven and just gives you a tip, you know, a clue, although I really don't think he will, but a lot of authors do. A lot of teachers think that you're going to get to heaven and he's going to tell you what you really did, you know. But maybe he can just reveal it in the spirit a little bit to us here on earth, because it's all going to be happiness up there, right? It's going to be all joy and everything. Telling me what I did on earth, that's a bummer. I don't know if I can keep the joy if he tells me how bad I blew it. I think it's going to be a different thing than what we've heard. But anyway, if he's able to reveal it to us, it's going to be a mountain of stuff that we've done against the Lord, even since we've been a Christian. And yet, he forgave it right at the cross. All of it was paid for all time. All sin was paid for. It's just receiving the gift of Jesus. Whoa, I like that. In the gift of Jesus in to allow that to be reality, right? Wow, awesome. So that's the king. So he goes out to his fellow servant, you know, and the guy owes him $50 or whatever, something he could easily pay, and he throws him in jail. Quick turnaround. Please, please forgive me. Mercy, I'm asking for mercy. And you get it. All right. I'm free. Then you turn around and somebody that owes you money, you nail them to the wall. And they could even pay it back. You still throw them into jail. You know, that's the log in my eye and the speck in someone else's eye. All these things are the same. They all line up, right? That we've received so much grace and mercy. And what does triumph over judgment? Mercy. In James it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. So what was the guy doing? He was receiving everything from his father, from the king, in a sense. He received it all. Thank you, mercy, mercy, grace, grace, grace. Oh, for me, grace, grace, mercy, mercy. Then he turned around and he judged, rather than giving out mercy again. Oh, but he, you know, the guy didn't repent. I went to the king and I, you know, threw myself on him and said, you know, I need you to forgive me. This guy, you know, I guess he was just groveling around. I didn't even listen to him. I threw him into jail. I don't think he was really repenting. He didn't mean it if he did. He just wanted to get out of paying me that money. So none of us have this heart, I don't think, here in this room. We don't have this heart because Jesus has done too much in our hearts. We know we want to forgive. We know that we want to be encouraged to forgive. I think what he's telling us today is let that go deeper than ever before. Maybe you've forgiven. We accept that. Father accepts that. But now he wants you to go beyond and repent of judgments. Repent of criticisms. Repent of memories that you're holding on to. Okay, I forgave them, but man, they hurt me. I'm not going to forget it. And you may not even say that in your spirit. You just have that memory. And every time, you know, there's an occasion when you're starting to feel a little agitated, you think of that memory. Man, I'm glad I forgave him, but wow. He can deepen it in us. We'll be freer if we'll forgive the way he forgives. What does he do with our sins? He threw them as far as the east is from the west. Is that really in the Bible? Anyone ever run across that verse? Is it really there? Or did somebody just say that? No, it's really there, isn't it? And he takes it and he puts it in the depths of the sea. That one takes a while to find because it's in the book of Micah. But it's there. Our sin, so far down in the sea that no scuba diver is ever going to get down that far to find it. The point he's trying to make is, he already did the 7 times 70. That's why he can recommend it. And when I say recommend it, he's commanding it, but we still have free will. We can choose to forgive at a deeper level. And we'll be a freer person. So if you want to start on deliverance, if you're kind of sensing, man, I just think there's some things troubling me. I keep getting attacked in these certain areas all the time. Man, what's that about? Try as a first step going deeper in forgiveness for someone, whoever has hurt you the most. Now, I don't think there would be a hand down if we said, has anyone ever been hurt by someone else in here? That's the way life is. But if we hold on to any vestige of that, it hurts us and hurts them and hurts the Lord and hurts our future. And we can't get full deliverance. And we can't get totally free. We're blocked. Yeah, but you don't know my situation. You're right, I don't. But I could share with you mine. We could match, you know, who got hurt the most. That would really be fruitful, wouldn't it? No, everybody has their own hurt, and it hurts. That's just the bottom line. It doesn't matter if my story is better than your story. Oh, I got a better one than that. I got hurt more one other time I didn't tell you about. Yeah, that's fruitless. That's why we don't do that. But it does come out on people's lips. They're hurt. It comes out on our lips more than we realize, because what's in the heart comes out of the mouth. And so sometimes we're saying things, we're critical of maybe a certain type of person, because the person that hurt us was that type of person. We don't mention their name, but we have people in a category. Because of that situation, we can get healed deeper. We can get more forgiveness inside of us to forgive at a level that's not going to sting anymore. If it still stings, there's something there. Because when Jesus comes in, and I've had this happen in my own life, you know the moment when you're completely free with a person. When you've gone beyond just forgiveness, but you're ready to have them, you're ready to bless them with the best life that they can have. You know the moment when it happens. People in the Bible have that moment. Many people have testimonies of that moment when it happened. You know it. Ah, it finally went deep enough. I'm free enough to bless them with the best life they possibly can have. And I'll pray into that with joy. It's not like, oh, I'll do it because I'm supposed to. Pray that they're blessed because I'm supposed to follow what God says. You know when you've gone beyond that, and it's your joy to pray that they go to a better place, they go to a better land, they find their destiny, or they get to their destiny without any hindrance, and certainly without anything that you... Father God will come to us and He'll tell us it's time to settle accounts. How are you going to settle it with this particular person? It's time. My grace is here for you. My mercy, my forgiveness. Have you already forgiven them? Well, yes, Lord. Now can you honor them? Can you go beyond forgiveness and not judge anymore? Can you repent of the judgments you have towards them? Well, what are they, Lord? He'll tell us. He'll tell us what they are. And then by praying into that and sometimes going to that person, if our relationship has still been kind of rocky with them, and talking to them about what God has been doing in our hearts, the person changes along with us. Now there's something to look forward to. Because it's in the spirit that these things are happening. And if you're so forgiving, so honoring to a person that they are receiving it as a blessing, as favor from God the Father, they will be changed. Because it's the goodness of God that brings, repentance. But if we say, well, when they repent, I will forgive them, or I forgave them and they still haven't repented to me, guess what? They don't have to. The guys that nailed Jesus to the cross never repented that we know of. They nailed him up there and he said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. You and me were part of the nailers, part of the guys banging him up on the cross. If we want justice even in that for Jesus, oh, Jesus, you shouldn't have said that. Nail him! Bring that lightning from heaven. You know that shaking of the ground that happened and the splitting of the curtain in the... Why didn't you just go ahead and add lightning and fry them. Take the extra step, Jesus. Come on. But instead he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, because he's looking down the road at your face, my face. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So some of you kind of laugh when I say, you know, about mission trips or frontline or whatever. I don't know what I'm doing. But I want to be prayed for by Jesus, you see, and forgiven by Jesus so much and admit I don't know what I'm doing, because he prayed for those that didn't know what they were doing. And he can take care of it. He can take that team in Mozambique and have them rip up that country for Jesus. Not the people, but, you know, rip up the things that the enemy wants to bring against them. Build a kingdom, win people to Jesus, free people from sickness and demonic oppression and demonic dreams and all that stuff. So if he's praying for us, that's a lot of grace. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing, nailing me to the cross with their sins. But I've got it taken care of. I forgive them all for all time. I forgive all sin. It all came on me, and it's all gone. The penalty is gone if people want to receive that gift from God. Amazing. If they what? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. If people choose by free will to do things and they know what they're doing, you're right. He forgives them too, because he died for all sin. So even the ones that know what they're doing and perpetrating it, those people. Last Friday? Not this past Friday, but a week ago Friday. One of the things that came out when we were praying for the children that were being rescued in India was, you know, that, wow, they're going to come out of the... They're going to be able to run away from the places where they've been held. They're going to find places in the huts to slip out of and run away and be free, and they're going to... Someone's going to be a benefactor to them and take them to safety. That was one of the things. And we saw it in the spirit. One of the other things was, and the people that have been doing this, some of them are going to come to themselves and stop. So see, the minute that we start saying, well, that person knows what they're doing, they should have to repent before I forgive them. I mean, because they know. I mean, they're choosing that. What we're saying is, okay, they are always going to be that way. But I knew things I was doing to my brother when I was younger. He was 2 years younger, and I physically was stronger than him at certain points when we were younger. Not now, because he's taller, and he's been through football, and he's got big muscles and all that. But at the time, when we were kids, I would pound on his back, and I would declare, I can't help myself. I would tell him that. No one else is around. It's just him and me. I'm on him. I weigh more than him at that point. And I'm pounding on his back, going, I can't help myself. This feels so good. Now, that's weird. That's a bummer. But I knew what I was doing. I was pounding on his back. In some cases, he came to tears. I knew what I was doing. But I changed from that. Praise God. Especially when he got bigger. I did not pound on his back. This was even before I became a Christian, I changed. So if someone would say, well, you don't deserve forgiveness for pounding your brother on his back unjustly, Jesus forgave it anyway. Wow. That's a tough one, isn't it? But see, we're never the judge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We can judge when someone is leading someone else astray and we can step in. We're not talking about that. There have been people that have come here with the express interest of leading people astray. I've talked to them myself. I've let them know it's not going to happen. With love. I offered them a different path. I offered them a different way. You can come and we can talk. And we'll show you the error of your ways. In love. It's up to you, though. The people I have in mind never came back. And I don't go chasing them. Because what it means is, no, I don't want to change from leading people astray into this weird stuff. I want to continue with that. Well, you have to make a judgment call there and say, that's not going to happen. You don't say, oh, well, I forgive you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. You forgive them, but you're not going to bless if they're bringing error into the body. You with me? So, you know, believe me, we're not pushovers in the sense of, oh, okay, well, yeah, go ahead, tell all these 15 people over here some weird thing that's off the boat and Jesus isn't God. Okay, go ahead. No. But you can forgive them that they can't get to that point. They don't want that kind of change in their life. Just like when someone doesn't want to receive Jesus overseas, we don't say, well, forget you then. I just gave the best gospel presentation I could come up with. I was even following the Holy Spirit. And you didn't receive the Lord? Forget you. You just go on down the road. Don't even come back next, you know, tomorrow night. Because it's even going to be better. But hey, you don't want Jesus? You just go on down the road. You still love them. You forgive them. You want the best for them. You grieve in your heart that they don't want Jesus. But you're not just dismissing them. So even this guy, the strong language at the end, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will do to each of you from his heart, do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, we think torturers, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to be thrown into prison and sliced up into little bits. Or, oh, that means I don't have salvation anymore because I won't forgive? I don't think so. But you will not be able to reach your destiny. You'll be tortured. You'll be kept back from being as fruitful in the body as you could possibly be. It'll steal from you. It'll take from you. It'll be like torture. You'll be like, I want to move forward. I want to minister. But I can't get there. I can't quite get there. I can't. It's going to be gut-wrenching on the inside if we're not willing to go the extra mile and you know, get to these levels of forgiveness. Now, I've, you know, had a trial in my life where I lost weight. It hurt so much, I felt constantly kicked in the stomach. I would go to the grocery store, and people that I knew said hi to me, and it was as if I was in a fog. I had no idea who they were. I was, whoa. I mean, some of us have had some of those types of hurts that have been life-changing. But because I received the comfort that God gave me, because I received the forgiveness God gave me, I didn't have it within myself. I didn't have the comfort within myself. I didn't have the peace within myself. I had to go to Him. It was there in abundance. And there came that point where I wanted a blessing on that other person. I wanted their life to be sweet and full and climbing and supernatural, and I still want that. And if there's any vestige in there, I want it I want it washed away because it'll hurt me, hurt them. I don't want that. So why wouldn't I want those types of things for you? To see that God's grace is so amazing that he can do this inside of us to the place that, oh, that's why I keep getting attacked in this area. I'm being sifted like wheat by the enemy because he has permission. He has a legal right because I've decided to judge. Oh, it's a legal system now. Great, I'll come in and do the reaping, sowing thing. Sowing, reaping thing. Sowing, reaping thing. You've sown judgment, you get judgment. You sow grace, you get grace. You sow mercy, you get mercy. So the only ones we can sow, if you weren't keeping up with that, grace and mercy. You sow any judgment, any criticism towards people that have hurt you, any kind of dishonor. Now, that doesn't mean that they're just your best friends and you go out to coffee all the time. Not what I'm talking about. I know there are difficult things where the other person can't handle you in the room, even though you've forgiven them. I know all about that, okay? I'm not putting something on you that, oh, you got to go right out and, okay, I'm going to order them pizza, I'm going to bring them flowers, and I'm going to show up with Starbucks, you know, and we're just going to... I know that it has to work on the other side as well for them to want that relationship, but you can be willing, ready, and you can give the signals that you're forgiving. And if you have to, talk to them. The Holy Spirit leads you to talk to them, and let them know. They could end up being someone, believe it or not, that you have in your inner circle of friends. So what? No, I don't know about this. I mean, come on. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And remained in a circle. I mean, it's like, I'm not supporting him. I know he's going to get tortured. I know he's going to be put on the cross and everything. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. Nothing with him. And then he's restored after Jesus resurrects. He's given ministry again. He's still in the inner circle. He never lost the inner circle because of the magnanimous forgiving of Jesus. So you don't know who's going to be in your inner circle. Well, I'm never going to trust them, even though I forgave them. Don't say that, please. You don't know who the Lord will restore back. You don't know who the Lord will bring back from the dead. Some of them have done things that they're dead inside. They aren't responding to God or whatever. But Lazarus came back from the dead. People come back from the dead. You've got to be ready to receive them when they do and not say, no, that guy taking that wrap off in front of me, that's not happening. Oh, yes, it can. And after they've been sifted by wheat, like wheat, if they're a Christian, they've been sifted by the enemy. And by the way, here's one that might blow some people's minds. God uses the enemy's sifting for that person's best. If they're willing to receive it. All things work together for good to those who love God. They have to end up loving God in order for all things to work together for good. But if they do, even the sifting of the enemy, you know the sifting of the enemy in your life? God is working it for your good. The sifting of Joseph ended up for the good of those people that came to the land when there was famine. See, he works it. He weaves it. Even the enemy's attacks against us, he can weave it for our good. Cool. So he uses what the enemy does. Paul asked for a guy to be turned over to the enemy so that the enemy would hammer him for a while, and then they could receive him back when he was ready to give up. Praying for someone to be nailed by the enemy? Ooh, I don't know if I'm there yet, but the Apostle Paul was. So are you ready to forgive at a deeper level? If you are, I won't go to my second page of notes. all that good stuff's there. I guess that'll come out somewhere. Let's stand. You are beautiful people. It's fun to be with you today. Even though some of you can smile a little bit more. A little too serious. I know it's a serious topic, but... Father, we're forgiven by you so graciously, so deeply, so fully, so completely. If we only knew how much, and we could spend time meditating on that, Lord, the gratitude would flood our hearts. And in that moment, anyone that has done anything to us, or even our family members, which is sometimes harder, when they've done it to people we care about, the offense is harder to get rid of, Lord. But you would, in that moment of gratitude, wash away any unforgiveness in us, any judgment, and we would forgive and we'd repent of any judgments that we've had towards any person on earth. We want to be free in our hearts, Lord. Because when we're comforted, we'll be able to comfort others. That means we'll be able to minister out of the comfort that you've given us. On our own, we can't reach that comfort. Despite every kind of counseling that there is out there, it'll never reach where it needs to reach. You're the one that can do it, Holy Spirit. You're the one that can go deep enough. You can help us solve all the issues, and you're patient with us to work through it. For some of us, it's going to be a process, but let's start today. Help us start today. Give us grace to start today. I know it's there for us. It's already there for us. The mercy that triumphs over judgment brings about such fruitfulness, such harvest in our lives, and the lives of those that were free. Many of them, they don't even feel the effects of what they've done to us. You can make us freer than they are, freer than they're able to be. Because maybe their conscience is seared, but ours is alive through you, and our thoughts are being taken captive in Jesus. We can be freer. Even if they look free, they may not be. We can forgive them, even if they don't care that they've hurt us. Even if they know that they hurt us, and they said we deserved it. We can come to the place that we turn the other cheek, mean it. We don't just obey, we desire. Because we know that you forgave them on the cross. You knew how they would hurt us, and yet you died to forgive them, and you said they don't know what they're doing. Your grace and mercy covered us in our ignorance. Covered us when we do know what we're doing because of free will. You forgive us for our free will choices. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What better way to forgive another deeply to a deeper level than to receive your forgiveness brand new? Really realize how much, Father, you love us and have given up for us, that you took every attack against you and forgave us for being part of that because of our sin, centuries ahead of our birth. You're always ahead of us, Lord. You're always behind us, Lord. You're always beside us, and Lord, you're in us. What more do we want in order to forgive at a deeper level, in order to repent of judgments, in order to repent of not honoring? We want to fully honor our parents if they're still on this earth, Lord. It doesn't say if they've done everything right, if they always treated us well, if they had a system of discipline that we agree with. It doesn't say that. It just says honor them, and our days will be long. Our fruitful days will be long. Our spiritual days will be long. But we want them to be freed up from any judgments we might have over them. And we want to break off any generational things that would come from us because of unforgiveness. We don't want that to pass to our children where our children are unforgiving. We can't help it. We can't stop it if we're unforgiving. Or if we won't let it go to those levels where it needs to go. Father, we thank you that you're breaking that over our families. Only blessing and goodness will go to the third, fourth, well, more than that. Unto the end of our generations, there's no limit. But not the curses. We break them off of each family here, off each individual here. Because they're stepping into your forgiveness. They're stepping into your mercy. They're stepping into your grace in a deeper way, a higher way. A way that impacts the people in their life that have hurt them. Father, this is just the beginning of the process. We ask you to continue it, Holy Spirit, where we actually think about this beyond the message time, beyond the revelation time. We think about it and we act on it before you, Lord. For those that are ready right now, we just pray that they would agree with this prayer. They can pray it out louder. They can pray it softly, or they can pray it in their spirit. Father, I forgive the person you know I have in mind. I give them grace because you gave me grace. I extend mercy to them because you've extended mercy to me. I repent of holding judgments. I repent of withholding love. I repent of being uncomfortable. That's not the freedom I want to walk in. I know you can get me there. I release myself to you today. I release any offense. I release any unforgiveness. I release any judgment. I release any criticism. I release any backbiting. I release any words that come out of my mouth that are negative, hurtful. Thank you, God, for forgiving me again. Thank you for forgiving me back on the cross. It covers it all. I'm agreeing with you today. And I'm stepping in to full forgiveness of the people you've brought to my heart, my mind. Thank you, Lord, for new freedom. And in the coming months, as you point people out to me, I want to have your ability to quickly forgive them like you quickly forgave on the cross. In the midst of ultimate agony of receiving the sin of the world on your person, you still forgave. The pressure of that, none of us have had. And you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Help us to enter into that with full hearts of desire. We know you'll provide the actual grace that it can be settled. Give you praise, Lord. We honor you today. Bless all the people we're connected with around the world, Lord. The many good things that are going on. Especially keep our loved ones safe in Africa, Lord. Surround them with your full hedged protection. We say, enemy, you're not going to get in. You're not going to get in. We're praying. We're standing with them. We're right with them in the spirit. We're their armor bearers. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Today. Oh, here we go. Report from Mozambique. You're on line two. There's what? Okay, there's some updates on the website, and also these pictures are online. It's like they're having fun already. Looks like it's cold.